Welcome to the Canine Cooperative Podcast.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
It's Jamie.
And Sabrina.
And we're back.
Who else would it be?
I don't know. Maybe somebody, took over, podcast takeover.
Podcast takeover.
Jackson Galaxy, the cat trainer, comes on.
That would be something. Can you imagine?
It'd be great.
We're going to talk about cats today, folks.
One time I had a run-in with a giraffe.
There was this one time?
At zoo camp?
There should be a zoo camp.
There should be.
A zoo camp would be fantastic.
Can they take adults? I feel like that's for children, but...
It shouldn't be. Mm-mm. I feel like I kind of went to a wolf camp.
Yeah, done that.
I mean, zoo camp would be fun.
Zoo camp would be great. I could rock one of those tan onesie pieces.
Well, could you imagine just being in the back of the Bronx Zoo?
Oh, I'd love it.
Just, doing the stuff.
You should see the hand gestures, people. I don't know what stuff she's doing in the back of the zoo, but that looks like a good time.
It's jazz hands, lots of jazz hands.
So clearly today you're going to get a very, very on point, structured
conversation.
We're not even out of January, people, and this is how the year is going.
This is what the cold does to you.
I know. It's so cold here in Jersey. It's stupid. I want to fire Mother Nature. Get her out of here.
Aside from the freezing temperatures and zoo camp.
And zoo camp.
Cat trainers. we actually have a very
important
conversation to have today. And that, my friends, is about the P word. Punishment.
Yes, punishment. I know we were all waiting on bated breath to see what that word was.
Especially with my hand gestures.
Right, especially with the hand gestures. But, so punishment and, I think one of the reasons that we want to address this is because...
It's taboo.
It is taboo to talk about. People get real icky about this topic, and mm-hmm. I think people get icky about this topic because when we dole out punishment to our dogs, or we think we're doing it correctly or trying to correct a dog, it usually comes from a very emotional state.
Yes.
So for us, there's a lot of negative connotation around it. And we have this conversation a lot because I feel like, especially since raising human children, the generation I was raised by was punishment.
Involved hitting.
Involved physical.
Yeah.
The person doling out the punishment, their goal was not to apply a lesson. Their goal was to make sure that they could tell that you felt crappy.
Well, that you feared them.
And that you feared them. And that's, I think, the understanding that we have, that people have around this. So that even all the calls we're getting, because this is the time of year people start calling for dog training and mm-hmm. checking us out. And we love talking to people. We want to make sure we're a right fit for them. But we do address corrections and punishment because that's a definite key piece to any successful dog training program. Mm-hmm. But whenever people hear that, the response that comes back is, will my dog be the same? I don't want my dog to be sad. I don't want my dog to be shut down. I don't want my dog to not like me anymore. I don't want my dog to be a robot. And that all comes from this misguided understanding of what punishment should be and how it should be applied. I think the other tricky thing about, and I'm just rambling on at this point, but I think the other tricky thing about this topic is how other trainers apply the concept of punishment or translate that to owners.
Well, let me actually stop your ramble.
Thank you.
Please
save me from myself, please.
I ran across a very interesting post on Facebook from a colleague who just simply posed the question to, and he's got both dog trainers and people just in the dog industry, whether that be rescue or daycare or grooming, mm-hmm. and then just dog owners. But he posed the question, what do you think when you hear punishment? And of course I hop on there for the comments, right? I'm like, let's see what's going on here. Mm-hmm. And it was very astounding. And that was my comment. It's very clear to see the misunderstanding of what this is and the application of it, because every person, except for the true diehard science people, hitting, yelling, scaring, abuse. Those were the buzzwords that came out every time when, you know, the idea of punishment was brought up. And so I want to approach this from the definition standpoint, and then also discuss how it's used in training humanely and effectively, and most importantly, with neutrality. Means no emotion at all, because what punishment means is, by definition, that when a punisher is applied, the behavior it's applied to should cease or lessen. That is the definition of punishment. Right? The definition of reinforcement is that the behavior increases. So that, by just definition, that's what it is. You're either increasing a behavior or you're decreasing a behavior. And punishment, by definition, decreases a behavior. And that we can also dive into the way other trainers use that. Because if you're walloping on a dog, or most importantly, if the behavior's not changing, that's not punishment.
That's not punishment.
That's just an application of your emotions on an animal's behavior without guidance.
Right. And I think something to interject here is, I would like for you to give a brief overview. There's something in the dog training world called the four quadrants. Okay. And this is a little bit of trainer speak. We don't talk a lot about this to owners. We do in a very like layman sense through a lot of analogies and stuff. But the reason I bring this four quadrant piece up here is because of the punishment factor is in the four quadrants. So would you like that break? You break it down so beautifully. Like you
put me on the spot with the four quadrants.
I know. But like she does, like I imagine like this is like the Bill Nye, the Science Guy version where Sabrina slides out in a lab coat with like a toy chart. She's like, let me show you this chart.
So, and it gets, it, well, it is confusing in dog owner world, just because like it doesn't, like people, rewards or reinforcement and punishment are done along, like there's negative and positive to both. And when people hear negative and positive, they think good and bad, and that's not what it is.
No.
Addition or subtraction, that's how you have to look at it. So both punishment and reinforcement has both negative and positive aspects to it. So there is negative reinforcement, which is the removal of something in the environment to reinforce a behavior. There is positive reinforcement, which is the addition to something in the environment to reinforce a behavior. So both of those things make it occur more.
So that's the reinforcement, right? So let's say where you're using spatial pressure to get a dog to back up at a doorway. The pressure comes on, the dog backs up and sits down, the pressure comes off.
Right. And if your end goal was to get that dog to sit down, and stepping into the dog is what gets that to happen, then that's negative reinforcement.
That's negative reinforcement. So, and then the positive reinforcement is what everybody knows. Dog sits, gets a treat. Right? Good things happen. Okay? Now, that's the negative reinforcement, positive reinforcement. What are the two punishments?
So there's negative punishment and positive punishment, and that's where people get very confused, because they're like, well, sure, punishment's negative. Positive punishment, what is that? And the thing is that negative punishment is actually in that regard, when people look at, like, you know, applying a punisher, it's not as quote unquote harsh as positive punishment, which is kind of funny. But so negative punishment is the removal of something to stop a behavior. Right? So you're removing something from the environment in order to decrease a behavior. Positive punishment is adding something to the environment to decrease the behavior.
So, for example, if your dog gets overexcited and jumps on you for the toy, anytime the dog jumps on you, you're removing the toy from the equation, putting it behind your back, stopping the game, putting it away. And then the other one is that's negative punishment. We're subtracting from the situation to change behavior. Positive punishment is the application of something aversive to the situation to cause the behavior to stop. So that looks more like a leash correction.
Pet corrector.
Pet corrector. Thank you. I'm like waving my finger. I'm like, what is this thing called?
This is why we need a video component to these podcasts.
A pet corrector. Adding a pet corrector for like unwanted barking or
which is a harsh sound.
Yes. Or like a water bottle. Those are the addition of things. So when you look, if you're a trainer or nerd out on training things, if we're talking about the punishment aspect of the four quadrants, the two out of the four quadrants, the negative and positive are less like emotive and more of like Sabrina said, addition and subtraction.
It's math.
It's math.
It's math, math.
We math it, okay?
So now here's the interesting thing. The way the quadrants are set up, they catty corner each other.
So if you think of a circle.
Tallulah just fell off the chair.
Yeah. If you think of a circle, they're cut into four pie pieces.
Yeah. So you can't have one without the other. And that's the struggle that I always had with the force-free, positive-only community. Mm-hmm. Because you can't have positive reinforcement without negative punishment.
Right.
Right? Because, like, if you give the cookie to the dog to sit, and he doesn't sit, you remove the cookie because he didn't sit.
So that's negative punishment. You're removing the cookie.
So they catacorn him. And the same thing with negative reinforcement and positive punishment. Like you can't have one without the other.
Yeah.
So they're always in play at all times when you're learning. And really, like, the entire learning quadrant as a whole are constantly in play.
All the time. It's basically cause and effect.
Yeah.
Like that's what the four quadrants of this learning theory are, is that it's all cause and effect. And we talk about this a lot, but we kind of nerded out a little bit because I want to highlight the fact that when punishments are applied or corrections, whatever you want to call them, for any sort of behavior are applied, it should be as matter of fact and non-emotional as if I asked you for the red coffee cup and you handed me the blue coffee cup and I said, no, thank you. Can I please have the red coffee cup? Like, that's how non-emotional it is. And we talk about this in terms of teaching your dog a meaningful no, or teaching your dog what no actually means. Because I think where people get all weird is when they think about correcting their dog, they wait until they're in such a frustrated emotional state with the behavior. So the behavior has been going on for a prolonged period of time. Like, think about it. Your dog is barking at something out the window.
What? We don't know anything about that.
Tallulah.
Nothing at all.
So let's say your dog's barking out the window. An application of punishment would be, we have a standard of behavior around the window. You are not allowed to bark outside of the window. If you bark out the window, this consequence then happens. Okay, that's how it works. That's as non-emotional as the equation looks. So it would be the dog barks, no
application of punisher.
Application of punisher, and then you teach an alternate behavior after that, right? Like, what do you want the dog to do if the trigger on the window happens? Okay, but the application of punisher, that's meant to decrease the likelihood of the behavior happening again. What normally happens, and that's why we can be so emotional about it. We're like, this isn't a big thing. It's not personal. It's it's not personal. We're not doing this because we don't like you. We're just saying, hey, remember, we don't do that. Mm-hmm. And that's how we approach corrections in our training. But
How it's approached in life.
It is. That's how it's approached in life. But I think a lot of people, when they hear the word punishment, especially owners, they think of this emotional thing. So like the dog starts barking out the window, you ignore it, you ignore it, you ignore it, you ignore it. And then it goes on for an extended period of time and you're like, oh my God, just shut up.
Yep.
Like, shut up. And you're all emotional and angry about it.
And confrontational.
And confrontational. So you stomp over to the dog and you like yell at him. And then your dog's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And then their ears go back. They're showing you submissive signs or they get confrontational back with you. And then you feel bad because you interpret that as the dog feeling bad. And mm-hmm. It's this very weird energy suck vortex.
Well, and it's most importantly, it comes without any sort of
context
because it just happens when your emotional bandwidth is at its limit.
Yeah.
And so to the dog, he lives in a very weird world mm-hmm. with a very unpredictable human.
Yeah.
And that is where shit goes off the rails. Mm-hmm. And depending on your dog's personality, and I feel like most dogs, I mean, man, dogs really do a good job of navigating our faults and the environment.
They do.
And they're very forgiving animals, and I wish people would appreciate that, because the amount of people that just come down on their dogs, and if their personality was just a little bit different.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I say it so, like, when we see certain dogs where I'm like, whoa, man. Like,
dogs are very forgiving of
our mistakes.
They are,
but they're the ones that aren't, you know? There are those ones that, like, you try that with them, they'll tell you where to go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of people get away with this behavior because most dogs are not going to be too confrontational back. Again, unless, you know, the things... I mean, whatever. There's a lot of different components in that.
Yeah.
But when it gets to that point where the dog is finally like, I've had enough.
Yeah.
That's essentially where we're called in, right?
Yeah.
And we have to make sense of the environment for the dog
mm-hmm.
and the human at that point. But that's oftentimes what we see. The relationship gets so strained to a point that either they're just fed up with the behavior.
Yeah.
The human is. Or
the dog is
starting
fed up.
To fight back.
Yeah, the dog is fed up with the inconsistency. So when punishment is applied, it's usually applied in a very emotional state. Or it's applied with no...
consistency.
Like consistency or context. I find this is a big thing in the dog training world, is that there's no allowance for the dog to think their way through the situation. Mm-hmm. So, and this is what I appreciate about Sabrina and my relationship so much. While she came from almost the force-free movement, right? Where mm-hmm. she was like, you don't touch the thing at all. Like, you know what I mean? It's all, you know, sunshine, light, and unicorns and liver treats. Like, I came from... Yeah. And I came from a very... be the pack leader... show the dog you're the dominant alpha, shut it down, and everything will be fine. And just yank and crank the dog way through it, right? That's where I started, and that's what I was taught was correct, is that like, no, your dog should do this because you said to do that, and if they don't, correct. Yep. And if the correction doesn't work, correct harder, and then correct again, and like, and just this escalating scale of like, where it's to the point where you're like, I mean, I'm going to have to get like a forklift or something to like yoke this dog up. Like there's nowhere else to go and it's terrible.
And, you know, and well, the thing is I've seen trainers do that. I've seen them put up pulley systems where they will literally yoke up a dog for things. And it's
awful.
It really is. And I think when you're so in on either one of those camps, when your training mode is just so... extreme, because this is how we got to the middle, because they're both extreme.
Both of us had moments where like, what?
Yeah.
This doesn't work. It doesn't make any sense. I don't feel good about it. Like it's not making any improvements whatsoever.
Yeah.
Like,
well, and the part that I struggled with mostly was more of over arousal, mm-hmm. how to slow down dogs, how to get reliable behavior, like that kind of stuff, because there was a lack of stop.
Yeah.
Right? There was, mm-hmm. I have quotes around that. So there was a lack of like punishment, which is stop.
Yeah.
And then on the other hand, with compulsive training, like there are so many dogs that get so shut down by that. And you can see that, like, now they're not experimental. They don't want to do anything. They, like, it's crappy.
Yeah.
And there's the relationship
The relationship gets damaged or doesn't transfer to an owner. And, like...
Well, that was the big thing that I noticed was the amount of experimenting that a dog does. Like, a dog experiments a lot when you're in the positive reinforcement realm, right? Because it's all shine and unicorns, right? But that creates a dog that, like, has a very frantic personality.
Yes.
And then on the opposite side, you have a dog that's not experimental at all. So you basically just trained a wet blanket.
Yeah.
Right?
And that's the concern most people have when they hear the word correction.
Wet blanket.
Because they feel like he's the wet blanket because they see a lot of this shutdown stuff. Because it's not being fair to the dog. It's not giving the dog the opportunity to figure it out. It's not giving the dog context. It's not giving the dog... It's not allowing the dog curiosity. It's just something that is imposed upon the dog, which is one of the reasons why we have such a problem with staunch obedience. Because it's not... It's obedience for obedience sake, right? It doesn't matter how the dog feels.
And there's a podcast, if you go back, it says, what is it? Something about, like, are your...
Obedience commands, something
like that. Are they not in line with your dog's emotions?
Yeah. So, like, all of this context to say, like, where we found the middle and what balanced training, to use the buzzword...
True balanced training
should be is understanding and operating the four quadrants in perfect harmony with each other. Where applying a non-emotional correction is very, a correction should be, or punishment should be, very individual to the dog that you're working on. What is a correction to one dog is not a correction to another dog, and what is a correction to one dog would be like, I don't know, like you peed in the other dog's Cheerios. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like they have a different emotional scale of like what that looks like. And that's fine. They're individuals. So finding out about the context of what the dog finds aversive or negative in the sense that they don't want that consequence to be repeated or happen again is very individual. But it's not just about that part. You have to take the time to apply the positive reinforcement and to teach the dog around what context is that punisher applied. So there's a standard of behavior around there. That's why I said, like, if your dog's barking at the window, it's not a bad thing they're doing a dog thing, but you have to be like, if I don't want that, you have to decrease the likelihood of that behavior through an applied punisher. And you have to teach the dog how to respond appropriately in the absence of that behavior. Otherwise, you're going to create a vacuum. You can't just pull something out that organically comes to the dog without plugging another behavior in because you're not solving the underlying problem. And that's why balanced training, that's what it should be about. It should be about addition and subtraction of behaviors to build a better dog, almost like a Lego set, for lack of a better
thing. And if you ever work with us, you will always hear us say, when owners say no, our response is, and what?
Yeah.
No, and what? So what do you want the dog to do after you've said no? And that's definitely a big missing piece. And that's essentially the difference between something that's aversive and something that's abusive.
Yeah.
Right? Something that's abusive happens with emotion. It happens without context. It happens...
Randomly.
That's abuse.
Yeah.
Aversion is just, I don't like that.
Yeah.
I will choose other.
Mm-hmm. And it's consistent.
Like,
and it's
when you
non-emotional.
Drive by a cop.
Yeah.
Speeding. You will get a ticket.
Yeah.
You know, like... If you put your hand on a hot burner, you will burn your hand. Like, there are things that are very consistent in our society that are punishing, so you don't do them.
Yeah.
Right? It's not like you can go rob a bank and then give back the money if they catch you.
Be like, whoops, my bad. Yeah.
Like, otherwise, that's how our society would work.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If you rob a bank, you're going to jail.
Yeah. But those are things that are pre-taught in order to have the privilege of driving a car, you had to go to school to learn the rules of the road, to learn the consequences of what happens to you if you don't follow those rules or standards of behavior. And then you had to be tested on that to show that you understood this. Then once you earned the privilege of having a driver's license, you're expected to maintain that standard of behavior that you've been taught, unless you want to have a punishment applied. And that's the way punishment should be approached. It should be like, we don't have dogs dropped off here and just start slapping e-collars on them and pressing buttons and just be like, no. Like the first...
You're doing it wrong.
We're doing it wrong. That's what you're doing.
Yes.
Right? And a lot of people think e-collar training is that. You put the tool on the dog, wait for the dog to do something you don't like, and then press the button at super aversive levels.
That's not how it
should be done. The dog needs to be taught first about a standard of behavior, what we mean when we say certain things, before you can even apply a punisher. Either before... before and after the punisher is applied, information should be given at all times. Mm-hmm. So the dog has an opportunity to think for themselves and go, oh, sorry, I should go over here and do this. Or my mistake, I should go over here and do this.
Well, and the beauty is once you start instilling that stuff, because a lot of the dogs that we work with are reactive or have stranger danger.
Resource guarding.
Like there are some serious pain points on the human end. But every one of them, what we teach them is aggressing forward is stopped. Yep. Right? We are going to quote unquote punish that to decrease that behavior. But on the alternative side, we need to say, well, if you're uncomfortable with what's going on, how do you alleviate that within yourself?
Yeah.
You move away.
Yeah.
And the dogs choose it. It's almost like this light bulb just goes off in their heads where they're like, holy shit, that's all I had to do?
Yeah.
That's all I had to do. Was
get up and walk away.
Walk away 5 feet.
Yeah.
And that's what we teach, because the human needs to understand that too, but that's how we get through a lot of behavior issues.
If you boil it down to the simplest terms of what we do is don't do that, do this. If you're uncomfortable, move away.
Yeah.
Like that's really all we're patterning. And all of that information becomes non-emotional.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the key piece there. When everybody's so concerned about when we say punishment, they equate the word punishment with abuse because that's how they've internalized that with their own personal experience of what a punishment is like. But like, I remember as like a young kid getting pulled over by the cop. I'm like sitting in the car blubbering, oh, I'm so sorry. And he's like, that's nice. Here's your ticket.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? It wasn't like, he wasn't trying to calm me down. He was like, I'm so sorry. Like, I have to do this to you. Yeah. Like, I know.
It was non-emotional.
It was just... Here's the thing. You were going 40 and a 25.
Lucky you didn't get your license taken.
Right? Slow down.
Here's a ticket.
Have a nice day. Like that. And I wasn't like, that jerk of a cop, blah, blah, blah. Like he was pulling. No. I was like, yeah, I was going 40 and a 25. Yeah. Like, please don't put any points on my license.
What I know.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, it was just, that's just what it was.
Yeah.
End of story. Like there's no, and that's how parenting should be, humans and or dogs. And that's one of the things in my own personal human parenting journey, I had to check myself sometimes because I was not, the punishment in my childhood was not alleviated until I showed an emotional response of remorse. That has nothing to do with the punishment.
Well, and I think that's a big thing too, is, you know, you hear that a lot where people are like, my dog knew he did something wrong because he looked
remorseful, he slunk away. His tail went down. His
actually, the dog is responding to you and your emotional outburst, and he's like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
I'm just going to make myself as small as possible so this human being doesn't come after me. That's what that response is.
Mm-hmm.
So to wrap this up, I want to really focus on the effective and humane way. Obviously, I think we hit home that it needs to be not emotional.
Yeah.
And again, if you ever work with us, you like our no. We sing when we say no. We're like no. Do this.
Yeah.
Like it's really. It's,
the dog could be like trying to eat somebody, yeah. And we're like no.
Yeah.
Like,
wrong choice.
Try again, friend.
So the effective and humane way to apply something aversive is that you, one, need to understand your dog and what they're sensitive to, because that's what it is. They have to have a sensitivity towards something, and not all dogs are sensitive to the same thing.
No.
Again, not all people are. Like, yeah. Some people will take that ticket and rip it up and
yeah.
keep speeding down the road, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it just, like, everybody has different
meanwhile,
motivations.
I was driving Miss Daisy for, like, the next 10 years.
Exactly.
I'm like, oh, no, 10 and 2.
You still do.
I do. I do drive like Miss Daisy. I do.
I'm like Miss Leadfoot over here.
Yeah.
And I kept getting away with warnings.
Yeah.
I should probably knock on wood. Let me just knock on some wood.
See, but here's a perfect example, right? I got a policeman who pulled me over in one of my first pullover incidences, and the hammer got laid down immediately, right then and there. There was no warning. There was no grace. There was nothing. Mm-hmm. I have such an emotional response tied to that, like as like a very clear cut and dry, this is what happens
this
when
you
rules. Speed, right?
Yeah.
Sabrina, on the other hand, charmed her way out of speeding tickets, and she's like, it's fine, meaning riding shotgun with her is like, thank God for the oh shit handle. I'm like, oh my God! Like, right? She, like, there was no appropriate consequence applied for speeding, so
I'm a
she.
Bad dog.
She thinks the rules are flexible. You pushy bitch. She thinks the rules are flexible. She plays with that line all the time because there was never a hard stop moment that created an aversive that affected her enough to want to change her
speeding. Well, that's
speeding
motivation.
Motivation.
That's what it comes
right?
down to. So finding a level of intensity that comes out ahead of the dog, right? Because if your dog's like, I'm doing this, and we're like, hey, friend, don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
He's just going to shove you aside.
Yeah.
Right? So you have to match your dog's level of intensity
sure.
when you're applying a punisher. But what a punisher is something tactile,
mm-hmm.
right? Generally something tactile, but not... You're not hitting. You're not. You're applying something that's uncomfortable. So a spray from a water bottle.
Can of compressed air.
So like not audible too. So usually tactile, audible.
Yes.
We use spatial pressure a lot as a punisher once the dog understands it, which is just stepping towards the dog to get them to slow down. I mean,
mm-hmm.
that's one of my favorite ways to get a dog to stop what they're doing. But those are the things that you're applying. Something to your dog in a neutral manner that your dog finds uncomfortable and goes, oh, I should stop that because every time
mm-hmm.
I do that, this happens and I don't like that.
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
now what should I do instead? And then that's where all the reinforcements applied.
And so that's which quadrant is that?
Which one are we talking about? Positive reinforcement?
No, positive punishment. The application of.
Oh, yes.
Right? The
mm-hmm.
application of... An aversive to stop the behavior.
Oh, yes.
Right? So that's that quadrant, which catty-corners with?
It catty-corners with
knit.
Positive reinforcement.
Yeah, positive reinforcement. So, like, you add something.
No.
What?
Negative reinforcement and positive punishment.
Right.
Positive reinforcement,
negative
punishment.
Negative punishment, right.
See? Quadrants are tough for everybody.
Yeah, we're like, what? Where does it sit? But like that, the application of an aversive to decrease or stop a behavior has to be neutral, non-emotional. It happens at the onset of this behavior. It has to be consistent every time the behavior shows up. The punisher is applied at the time of the behavior.
Well, and I think e-collar, if you want to talk about that catty corner business, e-collar is a perfect example of that. Because what you're doing is you are applying pressure,
mm-hmm.
right? So you're applying a punisher
mm-hmm.
to stop a behavior. You're releasing the pressure to reinforce what you want the dog to do.
Right.
So that's essentially how you're using the application of a punisher, right? Yeah. It stops when the dog starts doing the right thing.
Right. So let's say a water bottle, dog's barking out the window.
The addition of the
addition of the water, the punisher. The dog stops barking, the water stops spraying. That reinforces the stopping of the barking mm-hmm. because the punisher was removed. So that's how punishment should be applied in training, because that's what's going to, again, like we said in the beginning, cause and effect is what dogs respond best to. If I do this and something unpleasant happens, I'm less likely to do that again. If I do this and something I like or something pleasant happens, I'm more likely to do that again.
And that's really it in a nutshell, right? Like, we go down the quadrant road.
We got all nerdy.
It's important to know, but in the simplest of terms.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah. That's all it should be, is factual, non-emotional, and consistent. And wrapped around that one punisher event is always information before and after. Mm-hmm. No, stop doing what you're doing. Creating a meaningful no, just like a command. No. The dog chooses to stop barking, walk away. Fabulous. Good dog, here. Go chew your bone. Go lay on your dog bed. Awesome. No, information. The dog continues to bark. Application of punisher. Squirt, squirt. The dog stops barking. Removal of punisher. Information. Come here. Go to your bed. Information. Punisher. Information. Wrapped around the whole event. And that's how punishment should be taught and applied. It's non-emotional. It's consistent. And there's information wrapped around the whole event. And that's what it should look like. If you're waiting until the dog pisses you off, or allowing the behavior, or inconsistent. One day you go out and you constantly leash correct for pulling. Mm-hmm. The next day you're letting your dog sniff all over the universe and drag you here yep. and there because you're not in the mood for it. If you allow your dog to bark at things that go out the window, but then you're constantly giving it to correction when he's outside in the yard barking or barking on leash, that's inconsistent. There's mm-hmm. no information around any of that. So that was a lot of yakety yakking. To basically just say, punishment should be non-emotional and consistent mm-hmm. and informative.
Yeah, that's it, in a nutshell.
So there you go, people. There's our conversation on punishment. I hope that clears up for some people. So if you are interviewing a dog trainer, I think it's important to ask, how do you use punishment?
Yeah.
How do you understand punishment? How do you teach punishment to the dog? And hear what their response is. Does their response align with what you believe is best for your dog and what you believe is effective for your dog, or does it not? And can they explain it to you?
Yeah.
If they cannot explain it to you,
run.
All right, guys, if you like this podcast, please share it with friends and on your social media. You can check out more of our podcasts anywhere podcasts are found, Canine Cooperative. And check us out on social. We got a lot of good stuff there. And maybe we'll do a little something-something on there about punishment. Who knows? Maybe not. I hope you guys have a great day. And we'll talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.